Welcome. This is Catherine Laguna, Streaming Communications Manager in the Office of Communications at the Diocese of Orlando. Today, we bring you a special presentation from the Faith Fit Radio Studio at the Diocese of Orlando Chancery. During this Faith Fit Radio presentation, we are going to talk about CRS, Catholic Relief Services. This nonprofit organization began in 1943 with United States bishops established Catholic Relief Services to help war-torn Europe and its refugees recover. During World War II, CRS's work focused on the resettlement of those war refugees in Europe. Now with more than 70 years of experience, CRS's mission continues to focus on the poor overseas using the gospel of Jesus Christ as their mandate. Our special guest today knows a lot about the work CRS provides to 91 countries throughout the world. She has worked for CRS for the past 6 years in countries like Sudan, Turkey, and her most recent assignment, head of programming in Afghanistan. Welcome to Faith Fit Radio, Amanda Schweitzer. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's so wonderful for you to be here with us. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what Catholic Relief Services is through your personal experience?
Sure. So thank you so much for having me on the show. This is the first time I've ever done radio, so I hope this goes okay. My name's Amanda, as you said, and I grew up in Winter Park, Florida, so in the Orlando area. And I've been, as you mentioned, working for CRS for about 6 years. So it's great to be here to be able to talk about Catholic Relief Services, especially because I find that when I come back to the U.S., oftentimes people have no idea who CRS is and what we do, and that we are a core part of the Catholic Church. And so most people, I think, are very familiar with Catholic Charities, which does incredible work. But we are a part of the Catholic Charities network, but we do all of the international work. So we're kind of the international wing of Catholic Charities. It's kind of a good way of thinking about us.
That's so wonderful. Yeah, I just learned about CRS maybe like a year ago. I didn't know too much about it. But then I went to maybe like a workshop and I just learned so much about it. You guys do incredible work. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be great for our listeners to get to know this organization and perhaps maybe even help out in some kind of way, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But how did you get part of this ministry? How did you get involved in the ministry of serving God's people where resources we have in the U.S. are often very rare in other countries? Mm-hmm.
So I've always wanted to do work where I was helping people and working in community. Ever since I was young, I started with Girl Scouts here in Florida and was all the way in Girl Scouts until I was a senior in high school. And then it just kind of continued. And I got a bit of the travel bug in college. I lived in Ecuador and I worked at a school there for working children. And it just really spoke to me and it was something that I felt was kind of a calling. So I wasn't sure how to get into it, and I worked for 2 years at a school called Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Chicago. It's run by the Jesuits, and a huge focus of what they do is kind of the liberation theology, where they really talk about the importance of service as a core part of walking, you know, with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we did a lot of work with all inner city youth in Chicago. It was a Latino school, English, Spanish, and most of them were Mexican immigrants. And so most of them had never been outside of Chicago, and we would take them out to do service work all throughout the city and then to other states. And I just saw how important it was to them to do that and how much they grew. And so I wanted to be able to kind of go overseas as well and work with communities. Took me a little bit to get there, but I finally went to grad school, got involved, and then I spent some time in Israel, Palestine, working on human rights issues, and it was just like the bug bit me, and that was it. I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be overseas. I love the experience of being in different cultures and learning about different people and having an opportunity to then come back and share the experiences as well that I've had with family and friends here in the States.
Oh, no, you definitely got the travel bug then.
Yeah.
So how many languages do you know?
So the sad thing is I haven't really done so well with languages. I speak Spanish.
Ooh, maybe I can do a little test.
I was like, but I have learned a bit of Arabic, a bit of Turkish.
Wow.
And little bit of Dari, which is what they speak in Afghanistan. So
wow. Do you know say hello?
Salam alaikum. They say it the same.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. Okay, so like you said, you've been working in Afghanistan for a little more than a year, and you're head of programming. Can you please tell us a day in the line of work? What is what is it like?
Yeah. Changes a lot. And so in my role, I'm actually overseeing all of our programming. So I'm kind of at a higher strategic role. So I do spend a lot of time in meetings with donors, in meetings with government officials, and meetings with like U.S. Embassy. Then what I also do is I support our staff who are doing the work on the ground. So honestly, a typical day, I'm in the office a lot on the computer. So it doesn't sound so exciting, but I do have opportunities where I'll go out into the field. And so I'll go and I'll meet with communities. I'll hear about the impact of the work that we've had. I'll try to identify ways that we can improve our programming to ensure that we are giving the communities the services that they need at the highest quality, and also utilizing the resources that we receive to the best of our abilities. Because that to us is so important. We want to make sure that the vast majority of all of the money that we are receiving are going to the communities and going to helping with the work that we're doing. So I'm kind of that, you know, the person that ensures that we are using our resources right. I'm also writing a lot of proposals to get additional funding, going out and doing representation about what we do. So kind of at that, yeah, a little bit higher level.
No, I think that's great. And even though you're in the office, but you're sort of like behind the scenes, you're like the production of what's going on there. And then through what your work is like, you're just completely, you know, making progress and giving everybody else what they need. And but I still think it's the work of God. And it's just something that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
What part of Afghanistan are you in?
Yeah. So CRS, we work in 5 different provinces, mostly like in the middle of the country. So the provinces, I can say them if people want to look at a map, but it's Herat, Ghor, Bamiyan, Dikundi, and then Kabul. So I'm actually based in one of our sub offices called Bamiyan. It's up in the Central Highlands. We're at about 9,500 feet. It's huge, like up in the Hindu Kush Mountains. It's like one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, rich in a lot of history. We have a couple of UNESCO heritage sites that are there. One is where it was like a city that Genghis Khan had actually overrun, like, you know, thousands of years ago. And then these 2 like massive Buddha structures that unfortunately were actually destroyed by the Taliban in early 2000s. But the structures are still there. And it used to be a Buddhist community. And so there's all these like little rock formations and places where monks used to go to pray and meditate and stuff. Yeah, it's a fascinating place.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And so how does CRS show the love and mercy of Jesus Christ with others, even though there's different cultures and life experiences there?
Yeah, so we work completely like neutral, I guess I should say. So for us, it doesn't matter what a person's religion is, what their creed is, what their ethnicity is. We just focus 100% on the poorest of the poor. So we ensure that everything we do is always looking at the community level and looking at how we can serve those that are the most vulnerable in the community. So we're very neutral. All of our staff in Afghanistan are from Afghanistan. We have about 360 staff. There's only 9 of us that are international, and the rest are all Afghanis from the communities that we serve. So that really helps us to build a good sense of community. And I found that, you know, even though, you know, we are a Catholic American organization, that the communities themselves, you know, they feel that we're just there as one with them. And, you know, I've had staff, you know, parents tell me, like, thank you so much. You have no idea how much this means to us, that, you know, you don't care, like, what our background is. You're just here and you care to help. And that's your main objective. So
maybe this could be like a little bit interesting for some people, but there's a CRS video on YouTube called In Afghanistan, Community-Based Education's Impact. And for our listeners, check it out on YouTube through the Catholic Relief Services channel. It'll be under the video tab. Again, the video is called In Afghanistan, Community-Based Education's Impact. So this video tells a story of a woman named Fatima and other parents who pray to God that their children will be able to read and write one day, so these children can aspire to become doctors and engineers. So Amanda, how has CRS helped Fatima and other villages similar to hers on education?
Yeah, so education is definitely still a huge barrier towards progress within the country. They've made great strides over the last 10 years, but still huge needs. There's about 4.2 million children that are still without primary-based education. So what we do is we actually bring education to these communities. So most of these communities are completely spread out in these villages that are high up in the mountains that could be anywhere between 15 to 25 kilometers, which I have to like figure out what that is in miles in my head.
I know, because some of the videos showed like it takes maybe 20, 30 miles just for these children to ride the bus by themselves to get to these schools. So I think that's so great that CRS is now bringing education, or has been bringing the education to at least the villages. So it doesn't have to be that traveling difficulty for them.
Yeah, and most of them actually are walking. So there are no buses. There's public transportation. And these families are so poor, they don't have motorcycles. They don't have even donkeys that their kids can ride on. So the only way they would get there is by walking. And so the biggest issue with that is that for girls' education. So because of cultural reasons, families don't feel comfortable having their girls walk far distances to go to school. So they were the ones that were really suffering due to access. And so what we found is by bringing the schools to the community, it actually completely eliminates gender disparity, where most of in our classes, you'll have about 60% of the students are actually girls. And so, you know, I think when we first started doing community-based education in early 2000s, there was this belief that communities didn't want education. You know, this thought that, like, parents didn't want education, especially for their girls. But what we found actually through research we did with New York University is that, you know, that is not an issue at all. There's a huge thirst for education. But 98% of parents that we surveyed said they want education for their children and especially their girls. So we realized that's not the issue. The issue is access. There's just no access to education services. So that's what we've been trying to do with these community-based schools.
No, I think, and I've seen other videos from Catholic Relief Services, and I'm telling like my listeners, like you guys need to look at these videos. They're so they're so well done, and it helps us over here learn about the culture and learn about these individuals that are in need. You know, some of these women are becoming professors, and I think it's such a beautiful thing that this organization CRS is able to help these women get the education that they need, and also just sort of spread the love in the community.
Yeah.
CRS has a motto, as I like to say, and that's faith, action, results. I think it's so catchy. And so how does CRS follow through on that slogan?
Yeah. So this is actually a newer slogan that we started a few years ago. There was like a competition among staff to come up with who had the best ideas. So I think the idea of the faith, action, results is that our interest and our drive in serving the poor and the vulnerable come from Catholic social teachings. And so it looks at, you know, option for the poor, solidarity, subsidiarity, just ensuring that we are doing the best that we can for the most vulnerable. So I think that kind of is our root. And then the action is what we do on the ground. And so we take our faith into action when we follow these social teachings. And then results is just to show that I think one thing that NGOs, non-governmental organizations like CRS, way in the past did not a good job at was measuring their results so that they could actually show it. And so something we've been focusing a lot on is ensuring that we are then sharing back our results, you know, with the American public and especially with the Catholic U.S. public as well, just so they can see the good work and we can prove to people with numbers and stats and just even success stories, you know, like the video, for example, to be able to visibly show people the work that we do so they understand, you know, what's happening in other countries and then different ways that they can also help serve themselves.
Great. I think there's something that just came up because I think it's something that you said also was about the company helps people regardless of like their creed, their religion, things like that. And I feel like sometimes there's a stigma when there's names associated with Catholic anything that people might not understand that, hey, you know, we're here following the footsteps of Jesus, helping our fellow neighbor. And I think that's something that's great about CRS. And do you think there's anything that you can elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with how involved the communities are and about sensitization. And so From the very beginning of any of the programming we do, we go in and we have very long meetings with community leaders and with the community in general, and explaining who we are as an organization. And so we also try to hire from the communities we're working in, and so they can see that we are investing in them, not only, you know, with resources, but also with capacity building for people within their communities. So I think, you know, that's a longer process, but we ensure that we do this community mobilization and that that's a big part of our entire process. And I think that helps, because then they can see that we don't have some sort of ulterior motive or anything. Like, we really are there just to serve. And so, you know, we've had lots of instances where there's a lot of questions initially. And I think it also helps that people in other communities know who we are too. And so people will speak on our behalf and say, no, I know CRS, they do great work. And like, you're very like lucky to be working with them, sort of, you know.
So. Wonderful. This is one of my favorite questions. I'm waiting for a really good story. I don't know if you can come up with one, but will you please share with our listeners a story of our Lord's mercy that truly impacted you throughout your time with CRS?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I have two that come to mind, one related to Afghanistan and then one actually related to Syria, because I worked in southern Turkey in the Syria crisis before then. But the one from Afghanistan that I think about is when we were actually working on this video that you mentioned before, which I really appreciate because I'd love everyone to see it. But we had an initial meeting with the village elder named Amin. And so we came into this room and it was very intimidating. There's like 25 members of the village council that were there with the main village leader, all these older Afghan men. And then it's like me and two other Western women walking in. And we were all a little bit nervous because we had to basically explain to them what we were doing and get their blessing for us to take this video. And we sat down and they immediately brought us green tea. And the village leader just first and foremost said, thank you. Like, thank you so much for being here. He's like, honestly, nobody pays attention to us. Like, the government never comes here. Nobody knows who we are. Like, this village is in the middle of nowhere in this place called Gore Province, which is 80% illiteracy rates. So it's one of the worst in terms of education levels in the country. And it's just a really difficult place to get to. So he was just like, you know, it's so motivating for our community to see people that are paying attention to us and, you know, believe in us for the future. And so now we're starting to believe in ourselves. And then he also just a couple of quotes he said that I just really loved, you know, in talking that a good teacher can change the situation of a community and set the community on the right path. Education is the backbone of a society. An educated person can change their life. They can improve their knowledge and change their community. And they can solve the problems that face us right now, like war and conflict in Afghanistan. We see CRS changing the life of our children and our community. Educated children will grow into educated adults, able to improve our economy. They'll solve the conflict and the challenges we face, and they will serve for a different, better way of life. And this came directly from his mouth.
Like, aww, wow.
I could not make that up, actually. And we were just like jaw dropped, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
That was very touching.
Yeah. And he continued to follow us around the whole time we were there taking video and showing us different parts of the community. So it, to me, just made me realize that this is bigger than just, you know, bringing a school. You know, this was such a motivating factor for them. And so, you know, just thinking about for Syria, I was working on the border of Syria for 2 years. And we had kind of these refugee centers. When you first come in, they're called child-friendly spaces. And mm-hmm. so they were safe spaces for children who had dealt with conflict and trauma to come in. And we would have, like, games that we would play with them and different, like, psychosocial type activities to really help them deal with the trauma that they had faced. And so there was this one little boy, I remember, like, I first saw him when he first came in, and he was just sitting in the corner, like, cowering and wouldn't talk to anybody. He was really scared, and he just didn't want, you know, to engage with anyone. And so we would have the kids draw pictures, and all the pictures he would draw were of planes and bombs and people being shot and his family being killed. And he had lost most of his family members in the conflict, and his house had been destroyed as well from a bomb. And so, you know, our community there and our staff worked with this child, and all of our staff are actually refugees themselves coming in from Syria. And so, you know, we were also providing a lot of psychological support for them too. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, they knew the realities of what the children were faced with. And so they worked with him. And I came back a couple months later and he was like a completely different person. I remember being like, is that the Mohammed that I saw last time I was here? And they're like, yes, isn't he doing so great? And he was like running around and playing with all the kids. And his father was there. And this just like tears me up every time I think about it. His dad was there watching him. And his dad just had this, you know, this look of despair. But every time he would look up and see his son, he would just have this huge smile on his face. You know, and they had said that his father was just so appreciative because they were so worried about him. And so just, you know, that type of work, you see like the effect it has. And yeah, it makes a big difference.
Wonderful. How do you think your faith has changed throughout this entire journey that you've been on?
Yeah, that's a good question. My faith is challenged a lot. It gets challenged all the time. You know, I was just asked today by somebody, like, it seems like your heart is broken a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. who broke your heart? And I was like, well, the world has kind of broken my heart in many ways just because of what I see happening. But, you know, although it's been challenged, you know, I see, like, the glimpses of God in so many different ways, you know, in the reparations for the little boy that we saw, in just the way that people help others. So when I was in, you know, southern Turkey, and you have all these refugees coming in, and there were all these Turkish families that were opening up their homes to these refugees that they didn't know, they'd never met them, they're a completely different culture, different language and everything, and just the outpouring of support that was there for them was just so humbling. And then you just hear these heroic stories, especially of, you know, people inside Syria who were, you know, helping others and banding together. And, you know, when families, when there was a child whose family had been lost in the war, other families would take the children on and support them. So there's just little glimpses like that where I'm reminded, you know, that God is still there despite everything that's happening in the world. Like, he's still there. He's still watching. He's still supporting. You just have to continue to have faith. And that's definitely the hardest thing when you're dealing in conflict.
And I think it's just so wonderful to see different communities like come together and help other people. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that through tragedy, you see the humanity in people, and you see the love, you see the mercy, you see the friendship.
Yep.
There's so many people that can bond over something that's happened to them. And I think that's something that can also help them heal through the process.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also been just a reminder to me that we're all the same. Like, we all want the same things, whether you're a village elder in Afghanistan in the middle of nowhere, you know, or you're a mother refugee from Syria, or, you know, you're my mom sitting here next to me in the studio. You know, everyone just wants like the best for their families. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want education for their kids. They just want to serve God as well in their own ways, regardless of who their God is, you know, in their mind. And so, you know, I think that for me has been great too, just to meet so many people and realize that we're really no different, regardless of what we might think.
Of course. And speaking of serving, if there's listeners tuning in who is interested in volunteering through Catholic Relief Services, is there any way they can do so?
Mm-hmm. So we don't take international volunteers, but we do have a whole wing of U.S. operations. And so they do a lot of different work throughout the United States. They have something during Lent called Operation Rice Bowl. And it's a way that, you know, you can kind of learn a little bit more about different cultures and provide donations and do different events and things in your community. There's a lot of different things, too, they do at universities just to let people know about different issues, especially if there is legislative bills that are coming up that, you know, could positively or negatively affect communities overseas and different issues that we're really passionate about. They also get involved. They reach out to the U.S. population and ask them to call their senators, you know, call their state representatives to try to get them to vote on certain bills. So all of this is on our website, crs.org. And there you can find all the information about what we do domestically as well as overseas.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So this is the time where if you wanted to add anything else.
But I guess I just, you know, encourage people that if they are interested in our work, we do also have representatives in, actually, there's a Orlando Diocese representative here for CRS too, and in every different state. And so they're, if they want to know more and they want face-to-face and to hear more, they can also reach out, you know, through our website, or me, I guess. I don't know if you want to put my information. But so there's a lot of opportunity to learn more about what we do. And I'm just happy to have had the opportunity to talk about just this very, very small portion of the work that we do, because we do operate in actually over 100 countries now, especially with the Syrian migrant crisis. We've kind of opened up to a lot more countries in Eastern Europe too. So yeah, our number is climbing.
Of course. And after 70 years of such a huge organization, it continues to grow. There's so much more that you guys are doing now that not even people are aware of. So I think this is a great opportunity for them to learn. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful. Okay. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for being on Faith Fit Radio, Amanda.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I think that the work you and Catholic Relief Services provide to millions of people is truly the work of the Lord.
Thank you.
And again, this is Catherine Laguna, Streaming Communications Manager in the Office of Communications at the Diocese of Orlando. And also, we've been joined by Amanda Schweitzer, Head of Programming in Afghanistan with Catholic Relief Services. We are thankful for all of you for joining us today. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.